Hello?
Yes, sir. What is your name?
Last name Lee, AEC number 156537.
Hold on 1 second, sir. Let me get the machine working and then we will be ready to work. Well, if you would be kind enough just to state your name and AEC number again, I would certainly appreciate it, sir.
Scott J. Lee, 156537.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Your report to the Arizona Board of Executive Tennessee for your revocation hearing regarding the two allegations on your warrant. And based on information that we have, we were notified of this hearing back on August the 21st of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
And on there, it stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. Therefore, may I assume that you're going to represent yourself this morning, sir?
That's correct.
You cannot see us, but there are three board members participating in your hearing, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Lee, and the Honorable Mr. David Neal. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your lead, panel lead. We also have in the room with us today the Honorable Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Mr. Lee and Mr. Westbury, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you swear for him?
I do.
Thank you. As I indicated, sir, we have two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read each of them. Once I read each, please tell me whether it's true or false. The first one reads that you have violated Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 7, is demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine. On July 16, 2018, for the test, DCMS lab report dated July 20th, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is correct. I see my PO on the 20th.
Okay, sir. The next one reads that you have violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to attend substance abuse counseling with Community Bridges, Inc., that's CBI, and Building Block Center, BBC, through Wheelway on July 23rd, 2018, as directed. Sir, is that one true or false?
I did not neglect that one on purpose, no.
But did you attend that one, sir? Is it true or false?
No, I wasn't present for that meeting.
Okay. Therefore, I'm going to mark it as being false. Therefore, based upon the admission of Mr. Lee, I'm going to move to find that he violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Now we're going to phase two of your hearing. The board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to return you to the community, sir. So at this time, we're going to ask that you remain quiet and we're going to get some background information on you, then we're going to come back and speak with you, sir. So at this time, Mr. Westbury, would you give us some background information, please, sir?
On March 26, 2018, Mr. Lee was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 23, 2018 by AEC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on July 23, 2018, with a projected community supervision ending of March 14, 2019, 0 absconded. Current conviction, 2013, aggravated assault, 6 years. Prior conviction, 2001, criminal damage, 1 year. 2004, aggravated assault, 3.5 years. 2007, theft, 1 year. This is his fourth term in DOC. CUIR score, 3.3. Mental health score, 3, with SMI noted. Substance abuse score, 2. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Vinland Group Boys Skinheads. Prior term of supervision, 2001, TIS release absconder, 62 days, revoked by the BOEC. 2005, TIS release absconder, 51 days, revoked by the BOEC. 2008, TIS release absconder, 25 days, read CCD, prior to seeing the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs and alcohol noted. However, after his return to DOC, August 2nd, 2018, he received disciplinary for disobeying verbal written orders. minor violation. And on August 23rd, 2018, he received disciplinary for criminal damage, and that disposition is pending. His other arrest, 1999, endangerment, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 1999, criminal damage, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2002, assault with a deadly weapon, Arizona, county jail. 2007, DUI, two counts, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G7BA.
Okay, thank you so very much, Mr. Oliver, Mr. Westby. Okay, we're back to you, Mr. Lee. It seems that when you were released, that you were approved placement at V-Ray at the RCBM program located at 2501 West Elms in Phoenix, Arizona. And did you remain at that address all while you were out, sir?
Yes, I graduated the program, sir.
Well, congratulations, sir. We're very pleased to know that you completed that program and graduated, sir. Did you have an employment while you were there, sir?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you have an employment? Did you have a job, sir?
Yes, sir.
So what were you doing, sir? What kind of work were you doing?
I was working for Circle K Distribution Warehouse Center.
Okay.
That was connected to a job fair through V-Ray House.
Okay.
And I worked there for approximately 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was a driver's helper. I would help the driver unload the produce, the frozen stuff, product in the back of the trailer, the boxes of cups, waters, juices, sodas, and it would consist of 8 to 12 hours. And I was managing average 40 hours a week, and I enjoyed the job, and did a lot of constructive therapy for me. It made me feel good. My family was proud of me. My wife was happy for me. And most of all, I was happy for myself because of all the years of being, considering myself as a convicted felon. I had a negative vibe that I'd never be able to attain a job. And it boosted my self-esteem that I landed this job, and I didn't want to mess it up.
So what happened, sir? So why are you back in incarcerated at this time, sir?
I didn't utilize all my coping skills the correct way. I had a traumatic event that happened, and Ms. Murray was informed about it. I had a roommate at V-Ray House that stole from me. I mean, really stole from me everything I had. And I went down a downward spiral, and I relapsed. And I guess I didn't do a good enough job to reach out for, help. And the last time I relapsed, I spoke with my PO on July 20th, and she had asked me the last time I used. I told her July 17th, or it was on a Tuesday, and it was the day that my, so-called friend, or good buddy of mine, I still consider him a buddy of mine, we all have downfalls, and I just explained to her that I heard that he had passed away, and she had given me a new color for cash and a new reporting schedule that was from once a month down to twice a month. And then Saturday on July 21st, I had gotten taken off the 3-day restriction, and my wife was a witness to hearing it from the staff members at the Becker House, saying that I was good to go, and I had the clearance from one of the staff members to go to work on July 22nd. And I went to work about 7 p.m. on Sunday night, and Monday morning, I didn't know exactly what and where the location of the CBI appointment, because the staff members did not tell me. I had already gotten cleared to go to work. I had called CBI to see if I can come in at a later time that day. They had called the Becker House and said that I tried canceling, period. And I couldn't just, take off work, so I was all the way out here in Casa Grande doing a route for Circle K's with the driver. And I don't have a valid driver's license, so I'm not going to get behind the wheel of a vehicle and buy violated right then and there, you know? And so I got off work, I sent a photocopy of my time card to my PO, and she kept saying that they're going to your supervisor because she was on training. And so I walked into the lobby, I waited in there, and then I went to the back, and that's when I seen the supervisor with the warrants officer and signed the warrant.
Okay, so let me just hold 1 second, sir. Do you take note that we could contact, I guess this is, who's this, we could go Lara Ann Edwards. Who is that, sir?
That is my wife, by law.
Okay, so let me contact her, but fine, let me get the Honorable Mr. Johnson to assist me with this one. And then we'll speak to her as well, and then we will see if there's any other discussion by other board members. I guess this is the first number. Okay, two numbers.
This one is 374.
Yes, sir. Ms. Edwards, please.
This is her?
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Committees, understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing for... Yes, ma'am. We've started the hearing, so if you can just remember, we will call you at the appropriate time, ma'am. But while I have you, do you plan to speak, ma'am?
I do.
Okay, and while I still have you at this point, would you please be kind enough to state your name for the record?
It's Laura Edwards.
And do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you God and in your soul firm?
Yes.
Okay, so just hold on. I have Mr. Lee on the phone. We've already been discussing it with him, what happened. So, Mr. Lee, let me just ask a couple more questions before we go to Ms. Edwards. So why did you end up using some methamphetamine? So what happened there, sir? Mr. Lee? Let's see what happened to Mr. Lee.
Ms. Edwards, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay. Mr. Lee, are you still on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you. Mr. Lee, as you can tell that Ms. Edwards is on, but I want to ask you a couple more questions and then we'll talk to the rest of the board members and Ms. Edwards. And my question was, why did you use just methamphetamine? Why did you relapse, sir?
Like I said, I didn't utilize all my coping skills. I didn't even want to use, to be honest with you. I had so much pressure that I was going through, and I'm being honest, I didn't totally utilize the coping skills. It was a cop out.
Okay.
I had so much stress going on that I couldn't focus, and I impulse.
Was the program in VA, was it helpful to you at all?
Yes, that's why I graduated. I was really, really involved with the program twice a week at the First VA House on 2501 West Elm Street. They were encouraging me every step of the way. I had no discretions at that halfway house. They enjoyed, you know, my positive attitude, the aura that was surrounding me. I had a support team with my wife and my children and even some of the halfway house staff members. And when they finally found out that I realized, the day that I realized, they're like, what happened? Because they knew that I was going through some serious stuff when that incident happened with my roommate stealing from me. That really sent me over the edge.
Now just tell me very briefly, sir, excuse me for interrupting. Tell me very briefly what happened between you and your roommate. What did you say? He took some things that belonged to you, so how did you react to it, sir?
I didn't relapse that day. It was about a week or two later.
But what happened? I mean, did you...
Nothing bad. We didn't get in a fight. We didn't argue. I came home one morning from work. My wife dropped me off at the halfway house because I had a meeting with a guy from, it was a housing project program, and I didn't even notice that my stuff was gone until after I got done with the meeting in the staff's office in the halfway house. I went up to my room, and I went into my assigned bed area, and I stood there for a minute, and something didn't feel right, and I looked, and I started noticing that things were gone. And I had everything stolen from me, my boxes, my clothes, my personal hygiene,
So I'm going to move on, but did you report that to the rear end people, to the management?
Yes, I did. They said they were going to make a report of it. I contacted my PO, and she, when I talked to her,
I think that was already reported in the information from the Department of Corrections, the parole office. Now, but it seemed to me that when we were in the back of that vehicle, sir, on the way, that you hit your head and your glass, broke your glasses, and I hit your head up against the back wall or something. What happened? You broke your glasses? What was going on, sir?
No. I didn't break my glasses. What did you break, sir?
What happened?
I didn't break nothing. I got so angry because I felt, even I knew I did something wrong, but the way that I was being punished, I had a psychotic break because of everything that was going on prior to me being stolen from, the pressure from the halfway house that I was at the Becker house, on how they said that I was good to go, and then they said that I came up dirty, and it was already noted to my PO that I was already dirty. And I felt like I was getting double punished, and I just broke.
Okay, so this time, let me see if I can have some questions for you. Before I do that, I believe that Mr. Westby has something that he would like to share with us. Mr. Westby, sir.
Hey. Yes, Dr. Murray. Regarding the follow-up there to allegation number two, regarding when Mr. Lee was being transported, that last sentence there, that is a typo. I was in the parking lot when they returned, the transportation returned from bringing Mr. Lee to the return to custody. And when he was having this, being disruptive in the back of the vehicle, he was banging the plexiglass. It should say in there so hard that he broke the glass, not his glasses. But they actually had some damage to the vehicle. That they had to go take in and get repaired because the plexiglass was broke from him, his impact he had banging his head on it. So it should say glass isn't referring to the plexiglass in the vehicle, not his glasses.
Okay, thank you so very much for that clarification. It was good that you were there, so you clarified that. So this is not the glasses, but however this plexiglass, he did hit that and it broke that, and so that had to be repaired. Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm going to give to all the board members at this time, so they might have any questions at this time for Mr. Lee. I don't see any questions at this time for board members. Okay, Ms. Edwards, so we are back to you, ma'am. What would you like to tell the board this morning on behalf of Mr. Lee, ma'am?
Well, I was with him on a regular basis. Like, I was his former transportation, and I heard some of the stuff that was going on, and I experienced some of the stuff that was going on to him. There was a couple, when he was at D-Ray, he was thriving. He was, you know, a positive role model in the community. He was engaging, going to church. He was working. He was going to things that he had never gone to before. Like, he was going to AA meetings and all this other stuff. So he was really thriving at the VRA house. And to me, when they moved him to the other house, which is also another VRA house, but it's like up by the mountains. I don't remember what it's called. When he was there, that's kind of where everything went downhill for him. I know that there was an incident where he was supposed to go see his parole officer, and they told him he couldn't go see his parole officer. There was a couple, because I actually was there when they told him no. There was another occasion where he needed to go to his psych area to get meds, and they refused to let him to even go get his medication. Even though he was, I'm out of meds, I need to go get meds. So I understand that he's SMI, and I understand that he he did relapse, which I was not aware of until very recently. And I'm not saying it's an excuse to relapse, because it's just not, but he was under a lot of stress, and the situation was not ideal for him. And when he brought it up to his parole officer, she was, "You'll be fine, it'll be okay." And he's like, "It's not okay, you know, they won't let me come see you." I even heard her talking to him. She's like, "You know, if they give you any crap, excuse my language, I'll take care of it." They just wouldn't allow him to, like I say, go to his med appointment, to get his meds, to do things that he was required to do. And I was with him that day that he got violated. I actually took him to the parole office. Before we even got there, he was having a mental breakdown to the point that he was like, "I want to shift myself into St. Luke." And he didn't even know he was getting violated, because his parole officer was, "Go there, nothing's going to happen. They're going to help you with housing." So he had no idea he was even going to be violated. He had suggested to go to St. Luke because he felt like he was going to snap. Like, he got off of work at like 3 something and he had to go see the parole officer by 5. And he was just, the whole entire car ride to the parole office, he was, "I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm going to snap. You know, I really think I should just go to St. Luke's and call my parole officer and tell him I'm going to St. Luke's." And I was, "No, you need to check in with your parole officer. Tell her you're having a mental breakdown, and then maybe they'll send you to St. Luke's." And like I said, I was not aware that he relapsed until very recently. But all that behavior that he was having, I was very, very concerned that he was going to hurt himself.
Okay, well, let me see. Board members may have any questions for you, Ms. Edwards.
Okay.
Board members, any questions for Ms. Edwards? Board members may have any questions for you, but we really appreciate your testimony before this board. You made some things very, very clear that were not quite as clear as we were hoping that they would have been up front. But I will point out the fact that this positive UA from July 17th, July 14th, 17th, and 21st, it could have been the same one, but he did have he had taken a great deal of it, and I don't know whether because it was SMI or not. This methamphetamine, in as much as the cutoff level was 500 and he was all the way up to 20,000, that means that he was really using pretty heavy. And Okay, now, Mr. Lee, we're going to come back to you if board members have any questions. I have no questions from board members. Mr. Lee, we're going to come back to you for a final statement from you. Anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Other than the fact that I know that I made a mistake and I didn't utilize my coping skills to the fullest, I feel that I've had a little break away from the community, and now that I've got my priorities realigned, I beg of you for a second chance to show that I can be a success, to unlike the history of doing parole. And I would like to get back to work and do as much programming that I need to do and that is required.
Let me ask this, sir, before we go into discussion. Why would you reside if, whether the deal lets you out later or when you get out next year, where would you live, sir?
If I got out in the next few days or whatever, I would get a hold of contact to Halfway House that I know from Mary extensive therapy and counseling and groups like I did before at the Vibre House. And if I have to wait until the end of my time, it will be a discussion that would take place between me and my wife.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Or I would, either situation, I would focus on doing counseling. But I know that they offered more extensive counseling in the community. And if I had to, I would go to do an inpatient facility.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so very much, sir. And the board is willing to discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet. It may sound like we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves, the three of us, just talking among ourselves and following our discussion. We will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue your supervision. I feel that this is a very interesting situation that Mr. Lee found himself in. He started out doing quite well. He was employed and he had a position, a job. Something just happened. I guess we could say that it happened because of whatever happened, and I guess it involved his SMI, and as a result of that, he just kind of, not a scientific terminology, but he kind of lost it, and as a result of that, we find him back incarcerated at this time. What I'm concerned about, and I want to listen to other board members, I have to admit that I'm kind of on the fence, but I want to listen to other board members. What I'm concerned about, what will happen if he's out there? I know that he would have to go back to the same CO3s and all that. I'm sorry, not the same CO3s, the same parole officers and all of that, and I'm not sure that he would go directly to be checked in to a halfway house or to a institution that could help him. Therefore, just as one board member, I'm leaning, but I want to listen to other board members, let him serve his time, and so that he and his wife can really put something together, because he has a great future. I can listen at him and tell him, but he's going to have to just find a way to calm down, because if he does not, then he's going to react again, and then he's going to be reincarcerated again, and I just wouldn't want to see that happen. I'm only speaking to one board member. I'm going to hear the other board members at this time.
I agree.
Okay, therefore, at this time, I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be that based upon information contained in warrant number 2018W2126, testimony coming from Mr. Lee, as well as from Mr. Westby, I'm going to move to revoke his community supervision, inasmuch as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision. He did use some, he did relapse on methamphetamine, and therefore, with that being said, my motion is to revoke community supervision. That is my motion again.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal. So your community supervision has been revoked. If you're going to be out in March the 14th of next year, please work with your wife, put together a plan. Start working on that plan now, whether you want to check into a mental health facility or whether you want to do something else, so that when you get out, you won't make the same mistakes again. Because you do, you sound like a very intelligent person, and we just don't want to see you. So don't look at this as being negative. We just don't want to see you in orange again. Good luck to you, and thank you so very much, Ms. Edwards, for participating as well. And this will end your hearing.
Thank you.
And this will end your hearing, sir.
Please,
please get a phone back to the CO3 or let the next one come up.